very familiar chapter, Psalm 23. Hallelujah. I'm going to take my text from just a portion of one of the verses, but it's a short psalm. Let's just read the whole thing, shall we? The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you, we could spend the next 16 weeks on this psalm. There's so much here. And as I'm reading this, though it's not my text, I was thinking of that very last statement, that goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. My hair was not always this color. I have gotten a little older. But I have to look back and have to testify the truth of God's word. Oh, that doesn't mean I haven't had valleys in my life. It doesn't mean that I haven't had heartaches. But I'm here today and I'm still standing because goodness and mercy just keep following me. Others fall and others fall away and things happen, but God has been faithful to keep me in spite of myself all these days of my life since I came to know Jesus. And I just want to thank him for that this morning. All right, I want to focus on verse 3, the first part of it. The psalmist said, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. What does that mean? Well, the soul of man is a trinity. He's made up of body, soul, and spirit. The body, God can sometimes restore. I've heard stories of people who have abused their body with alcohol, and God could heal a liver that's about to go. God could do that. He is able. And our spirit man is the part that Jesus died that we go to heaven with. That's the eternal part. That you just have to be born again to have that restored. But the soul is another trinity. It is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. How many of you know that sometimes our emotions can become damaged? Amen. You know, when I think of restoring something, I think of the people who specialize in restoring old furniture. They know how to sand it down and get all of the scars out, the nicks. They know how to get all of that back to the way it was when it was new, and they put new varnish, new stain, and new varnish on it, and it looks new. It's been restored. And so when I think about my emotions, my mind, my will, and my emotions, and I think of how I have been scarred. I have been hurt by people that I love, that say they love me. And I carry those scars like an old piece of furniture that have been in the family for years. In fact, I have a dresser with mirrors that I posted on the Tahlequah online garage sale of Facebook. Posted it on Craigslist. I posted it on my Facebook page. And David Bryant, many of you remember David Bryant, who and his beautiful wife used to come here. He's buying the dresser from me. He's going to be there later on today when he gets off work. And I told him it's pretty scarred up on top, but it could be restored. I think of that dresser. It's been in the family for years. Before I ever met Deborah, there was a girl I was engaged to, and we broke it off. She picked out the dresser. So that's how old it is. She picked it out, and I had it when my first wife and I married. I didn't emphasize another woman picked it out. I just said, this is my dresser. But it's been through a few iterations, if you want to call it that. And it's pretty scarred up on top. But it's all wood. It's not particle board like things that you would buy at Walmart or something. So it could be sanded down. It could be restored. And when you've lived as long as many of us have lived, like that old dresser, you've got some scars. You've got some dents. You've been through life. And God says that He has the power to restore your soul, to help you to forgive, to help you to forget, to help you to smooth out those rough edges. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, verse 17 through 19, the Lord says, "For the iniquity of His covetousness was I wroth, and I smote Him. I hid me and was wroth, and He went on frowardly in the way of His heart." Sometimes the reasons we carry scars is by our own device, by our own sinful nature. We go right when we should have went left, or we go down when we should have went up, or we choose death instead of life, and we carry scars because of our own stupidity, if you will. But Isaiah goes on to say, "I've seen His ways, and I will heal Him." Isn't that just like God? "I will lead Him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners." So God said, "I can, in spite of your own sin, I can heal and I can restore and I can comfort." He says, "I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, says the Lord, I will heal him." What a beautiful promise in the book of Isaiah 57, 17 through 19, that God can not only heal, that He said in verse 18, He can restore. He can make new again. He can smooth out those scars. He can heal the emotional scars that someone has brought upon you. The psalmist in chapter 51, verse 12 of Psalm said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit." I don't know about you, but I remember when I got saved as a new Christian, the grass was greener, the sky was bluer, the air was sweeter. I was saved. I'm saved. Born again. My name written in heaven. I felt so good. And that hasn't changed. But what has changed is my outlook on life. Sometimes I see everything as being perfect with God, and then imperfect people come into my circle of influence, and I begin to question God's goodness. I begin to question God's mercy. And so the psalmist said, you know, "In spite of other people, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation." Regardless of what other people do or say, or how I am disappointed with this or that, God can restore joy to my life. You know, it really, when you think about it, joy has nothing to do with other people. It comes from God and from within. Amen? And if God can restore the joy of our salvation, as the psalmist prayed, then what a world it would be like if all of us had that joy all the time. We would be rubbing it off on other people. Other people would want what we got. We wouldn't be angry or sour because of this person or that one. The bubbling up of God's joy in our life would come because God had restored it the way it was intended to be. Amen? How many of you guys ready for God's restoration this morning? I don't know about you, but I am. Psalm 85:4 said, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease." Turn us. You know what? Sometimes we need turn, don't we? I think about Hosea that called Israel a cake not turned. And, you know, you could cook one side of a pancake, and then instead of flipping it over in the pan, you could flip it over on the plate, and everybody would look at it and say, "Ooh, I want some of that. That looks really good." But they wouldn't know. the backside is still doughy and raw. And so sometimes we need to be turned, amen. Sometimes that is God's way of restoring. He's turning us. Maybe our focus is this way when it needs to be this way. Maybe the reason we don't experience the restoring joy of God in our life is because we're looking at the wrong thing, amen. And when we begin to turn away from some of these things that are robbing our joy, we begin to get our eyes on the Lord, then God is able now to begin the restoration process. Jeremiah, speaking in chapter 3, beginning at verse 20, said, "Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord." A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their ways, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. This was a common theme with Israel. And the Lord says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come to thee, for thou art the Lord our God." And so, even if you have made the wrong choices in life, maybe you've went down the wrong roads, maybe you say, "Well, God doesn't care because this was my fault. I chose to do this. I created the problem. Now I got to get my way out of it." You know, if it was anybody else, the answer to that would be yes. But because God is merciful, then he says to the children of Israel who were backsliding, "Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding." You see, sometimes the process of restoration or healing is the very thing that we need so that we don't keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over. Amen. Notice that that backsliding is an ailment with God. He has to heal our backsliding. If he doesn't heal this area in our life, this stronghold, this besetting sin, this inclination to keep doing this again, we will continue to backslide. But if we just come to the Lord and we cry out to God, and we say, "God, I'm tired of this." And then God says, "Okay, I will heal your backsliding. I will restore you to the place you used to be where that thing is no longer a stronghold in your life." Amen? Praise the Lord for that. And then in that same chapter down in verse 17, Jeremiah 30:17, he says, "I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast." Wow, what a powerful verse. "I will restore health to you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord." You know, I don't think that old dresser of mine felt any pain when those nicks got knocked in it. I don't think it said ouch when those scratches on the top occurred. I don't even know how they got there, but over what, 1980, what is that, 37, no, 47, whatever that, 80, 90, 2000, yeah, 37 years, that dresser just being there for 37 years, and we're just like it, just living in a fallen world for all these years, we're going to get scratches, we're going to get nicks. But unlike the dresser, every one of those scratches hurt. Every one of those nicks, we felt. God gave us feeling. He gave us nerves. Physical nerves. Emotional nerves. And we ask God this morning to heal our mind, our will, our emotions, to restore us. Restore our soul. Amen. And so he said, "I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. I will restore health unto you." Aren't you glad that God is not just in the business of healing physically, but he's in the business of healing emotionally too? Doesn't matter what someone's done to you. Doesn't matter. Sometimes family are the ones that can hurt us the most. But I serve a God this morning that is more than able to heal the wounds of brokenness. Hosea 6:1, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for he is torn and he will heal us. He's smitten and he will bind us up." I love this one, Luke 8:35. It's when Jesus delivered the man full of demons. It says they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You know, when I carry the baggage of hurts and pains, when I carry the scars of what someone's done to me, I'm not in my right mind. I'm not saying we're demon-possessed like this guy, but we're definitely not in our right mind. Because as soon as someone brings up something that even relates to that offense, our mind immediately goes to the day and the hour when he said this or she did this or that happened. And that's not the kind of mind that God wants us to have. But we can be sitting at the feet of Jesus in our right mind as God restores our soul. What a beautiful place to be. Just sitting at the feet of Jesus. No longer memories of anger or hurt or disappointment or loss. Like that furniture totally restored, there is no longer a nick, no longer a gouge, no longer a scratch. Sitting at the feet of Jesus in our right mind. And then there's the story of the prodigal son who did everything wrong. I love some of these stories because they really kick over religious cows. Religious people make you think that you have to always do it the way they think you should do it, and if you don't, you're not spiritual. Well, the prodigal son was not spiritual. He was carnal. He was looking out for himself. He had no thought for his father, or his brother, or his family. He wanted it now, and he wanted it all, and he took it, and he spent it, and it was gone. And his father had no business welcoming him back. But the father said to the servant, Luke 15:22, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and a shoe on his feet. What does that mean? He was restored to the family of God. He was restored to the family. And it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or what you've said or what you've experienced. God is wanting to restore you as a functional child of the family of God. And I say functional because without God healing the emotions of your past, you are a dysfunctional child of the family of God. He still loves you. You're still part of the family. But God wants you to be a functional family. He wants to restore you. He wants to put the robe on you, the ring on you. He wants to bring you to that place of total completeness in Him. Total restoration of our soul. He restores my soul. He, say it with me, He restores my soul. God can restore your soul this morning. He can heal the brokenness. Jesus went into the temple and read from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me that He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Notice the words in here, poor, brokenhearted, captives, blind, bruised. Can I read those again? Poor, brokenhearted, captive, blind, bruised. I think that pretty much sums up all of us at some point in time, doesn't it? If Jesus hadn't come, the bruised would have no hope. The brokenhearted would have no aspiration to ever be healed. The captive could never be set free. The poor would remain poor. The bruised would never heal. But Jesus came to restore our soul. He was anointed to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captive, to set at liberty the bruised. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 147, verse 3 and 4. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Now, if you've been a Christian for a while, maybe you've prayed that God would heal your broken heart. Maybe you prayed that God would restore your soul. And you might say, well, you know, I prayed and asked God to help me with this, but it doesn't seem like God can do this. I've asked, and I don't feel any different. I think this is too big for God. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've dealt with. You know, as a pastor, I'm often shocked about what some people have been through. Years ago, when I was doing children's ministry, there was a young girl that we would pick up on the bus every Saturday. And I knew this girl was a little hard around the edges. I didn't know why. I kind of sometimes live in a naive bubble and have to be shocked out of it sometimes. I lived in a very happy, safe family, one mom, one dad, stayed together. I'm not familiar with abuse. One day as I was taking the flyers out to remind all of the moms that we'd be there on Saturday to pick up their kids for the Super Saturday, one of the moms said, you know what, naming her daughter's name that I'll leave nameless, you know what she's been through, don't you? And I said, no. She had a boyfriend who was repeatedly raping this young girl. And then one day she said to him, I wish you were dead. And so he put a gun to his head and killed himself. And it was on Thanksgiving. The devil loves to do things on holidays just so those triggers haunt us on and on and on. And so she had the guilt, because anytime someone is abused, they always carry the guilt as if somehow it's their fault. The abuser tells them, well, this is your fault that I'm doing this to you. You know, you asked for it. You brought it on, whatever the case may be. And I have found, even in our little congregation, there are people who have shared some pretty horrific stories with me that you would never know. But God knows. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. Now, I love this. Sometimes you read the Bible, if you don't read it in its entirety or its context, you miss these little nuggets that are so beautiful. Because Psalm 147:3 says he heals the broken in heart and binds their wounds. And then the next verse seems like it doesn't even relate. It says, he tells the number of stars and he calls them all by their name. Well, what in the world does that have to do with God healing someone's broken heart? How many people do you know that can tell you how many stars are in the galaxies? And how many do you think, if they could give you a number, could tell you the name of every single one of them? The same God that can heal your broken heart. If he can do that, he can heal your broken heart. I said, if he can do that, he can really, really heal your broken heart. He restores my soul. Praise God. I think of the story of Joseph when I think of brokenness. Joseph was chosen by God. You know what? When God called me to ministry, I was so naive. I thought chosen by God meant no problems. I know, you laugh at me. I was young. I was stupid. I thought chosen by God meant no problems. Joseph was chosen by God. That's when the problems start. Chosen by God. Let's put a check mark on his head right there, the devil says. So, Joseph chosen by God. Dad loves him, mom loves him, made him a special coat. I mean, he is in the zone. I'm special. I'm special with God. I'm special with Mom. I'm special with Dad. But he wasn't special with his brothers. It's always family, isn't it? Can I get an amen? Somebody say amen right there. It's family. So he wasn't special with his brothers. In fact, the Bible says his brothers hated him. Now that really, man, if you think about that, put yourself in poor Joseph's place. My family hates me. The place where I work, there was a certain individual, she's a nurse, that was over a certain area. She hated me. I don't know why she hated me. She was one of those kind of people that was kind of a control freak. And she was, you know, if you're really worried about control, then anyone is a threat to you that has half a brain, right? Because they might take control from you. So, at any rate, we were always at odds with one another for years. And someone said, "What's going on?" And I said, "She hates me. I don't know. She just hates me, you know." And I tried to be nice to her, but, you know, sometimes you can't help that. Incidentally, the lady retired this last year. And I'm able to do so much more in that area of work. And everybody's like, "Why didn't you do this sooner?" I just never got around to it. That's what I told them. But I couldn't, you know. It was just one of those things. At any rate, it really is disheartening when someone hates you without a cause. I mean, it really can take you down. It can depress you. It can discourage you. It's like, what did I do? You know, and then you find yourself trying to do even more to appease those people. Well, that was the case with Joseph. His brothers hated him. Wasn't anything he could do right. Didn't matter. They hated him. In fact, they hated him so much. Now, sometimes our gift that God gives us can also cause people to hate us. Sometimes the very light of Christ in us will rub someone the wrong way. Because there are demons and spiritual beings all around us that we don't see. And so you sometimes just being a Christian can cause people to hate you. Shining your light, being that salt. You know, if you pour salt in the wound, it hurts. And yet we're called to be the salt of the earth. And there's a lot of wounded people. And let me just make a statement. I don't want to go down this rabbit trail too far. Hurting people hurt people. And so sometimes when someone is angry with you, don't take it personal because they're just angry and you're there. Because they've been hurt. The Bible says not to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you, and you'll be like your Father in heaven. Aren't you glad that God keeps loving you in spite of yourself? Amen. So, his brothers not only hate him, they hate him not just because he's Joseph, but they hate him because of his gift. He's a dreamer. And not just any dreamer, a Holy Spirit-inspired dreamer, right? Not just pepperoni pizza before I went to bed dreamer. But he is a Holy Spirit-inspired dreamer. And when God is in it, sometimes people don't want any part of it. And so they see Joseph coming and they say, "What? Here comes that dreamer again." I mean, you can hear the disdain in their voice. Dreamer. Here comes that dreamer again. Here comes that holier-than-thou. Here comes that Bible thumper again. Here comes Eddie. She's probably going to tell us about something she found in the Bible. And that's all she ever talks about. You know, you can put your own name there. I'm just picking on Eddie this morning. But, you know, and so if we're not careful, we can take these things into ourselves and carry these wounds in our soul, in our mind, in our will, in our emotion. But remember, they're going to say that about anybody, right? Right? They're going to say that about anybody. I've got to learn to shake that off and not let it come into me. So they don't just say something about Joseph. Now they are ready to kill him. They throw him in a pit. And they're going to kill him. They're going to kill their own brother. They're going to kill him. Thank God for Judah. that Christ's lineage man, Judah, says to his brothers, don't kill him. There's those flea market maniacs heading to Egypt. Let's sell him. They'll buy anything to resell, right? And so they take him out of the pit, and they sell him, and they take that robe of many colors, and they kill a goat and put the blood on it. And now they're not only wounding him, now they're going back and wounding Dad with a lie that your son is dead when he's not. I tell you what, I don't want to ever be in the ministry of wounding people. I have been guilty of wounding people by being religious in the past, and I will not do that again. I won't do it. Amen. I don't want a church where you're pushing people over because you want to look spiritual. I don't want that. And if I only have 8 people in my church till Jesus comes, I think the greatest of these is love, and I'm okay with the church just the way it is. So, sorry, I just had to say that and get it off my chest. All right. Now, Joseph is going to Egypt. I don't know what he's in. I picture one of those, remember those wagon train-looking things that would have an animal in it, like a jail, and they're being pulled by horses, you know, and he's in there. Maybe there's some goats and cows in there with him, and he's slowly going through the desert toward Egypt, wondering, what in the world did I do? Have you ever wondered, what did I do to deserve this, Lord? I didn't do anything. You know, someone told me that Christians have to have tough skin. I don't know if I agree with that, but I understand why they said it, because in life we are going to have tribulations, and we're going to have people that hurt us. I don't think we need to have tough skin so much as we need to constantly stay under the flow of the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit so that He's constantly restoring my soul. Amen? I don't want to get bitter. I want to get better. I want God to restore my soul so I don't have to have tough skin. I want to have the wisdom of God not to take it personal, and I want the grace of God to restore my soul. Can I say that one more time? I want the wisdom of God not to take it personal, and I want the grace of God to restore my soul. And if I can just do those two things, I really think that I will keep the Christ-likeness that God wants me as a Christian to have. The joy, the peace, and looking like Jesus. Not angry, not bitter, not snapping at people. I've done it all, man. I'm preaching to the choir. I've been there. I mean it. I remember one time years ago when Harrison was doing sound, and I would get on him because he didn't do it just right, because I wanted everything to be perfect. And now I don't even care. Because what good is it if the sound's right, if the sound of the love of God isn't right? Man, I tell you. Thank God I earned every one of these gray hairs, man. I did it all wrong and grew through it. So Joseph has opportunity to get bitter. He has opportunity to be wounded. He has opportunity to be angry. And he's on his way to Egypt, but God was with him. I love that. If you read Genesis, it says, but God was with him. And then, but God was with him. His brothers try to kill him. God was with him. Brothers sell him, but God's with him. Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him. He goes to jail, but God is with him. God is with him. God is with him. If God is with you, it's going to be all right. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what he said or she said or who said. It doesn't matter how many scars your furniture of life gets. God is the restorer of souls. It's going to be all right. He's in jail. Wow. How low can a person go? How low can a person go? How much bad can a person go through before they get angry and bitter at God, before they become a vessel that cannot be restored? You know, David may look at that dresser and go, well, you know I told you I'd take it, but pretty scarred up. It can be restored. Not particle board. You're not particle board. You can be restored. In jail, he's still faithful to God. I was talking with my daughter over breakfast, and I reminded her that it's about staying faithful even when God doesn't make sense. About not giving up on God. I mean, it's the test of Job, it's the test of Joseph, it's the test of you, and it's the test of me. We can't get angry and bitter when God doesn't make sense. We hold on and know that God will take care of us in time. In jail, he meets the butler, the baker. He interprets their dreams. I'd hate to have been the baker. Pharaoh's going to take your head off. How'd you like to deliver that as a Sunday morning sermon? I'm sorry to tell you, sir, but you're going to die and not live. Get your house in order. But the butler said, in a few days, you're going to be pouring Pharaoh's wine again. You're going to get out of jail. You'll be exonerated. Everything's going to be all right. By the way, I'm here under false pretenses. Would you remember me? Does he remember him? No. He's there for, what, 2 more years, I think? I don't remember. I didn't reread the story this morning. Okay, the point is, how many scars do we have now? We've got brother scars. Dad didn't come and rescue me scars. These flea market maniac people put me in with the animal scars. Of course, I'm speculating on that. The Potiphar's wife scar, and Potiphar, who should have known his wife was floozy, and he probably knew, but he couldn't. And then the jailer scars, and then the butler scar who forgot me. He's out there pouring the wine. He didn't even remember me. You know, and so I've got all these scars and all these pain from life, from people. But God restores our soul, our mind, our will, and emotion. He was delivered. You know, you can be elevated and still carry the baggage of the past. You can be a song leader, you can be a drummer, you can be a Sunday school teacher, you can be a preacher and still carry the garbage of your past. You can smile. Years ago when I was at Calvary, I preached a sermon one Sunday night about the walking wounded. And I quoted, and somebody thought that I was just so carnal for quoting the line from the Beatles song Eleanor Rigby. But it said it quite well, that Eleanor Rigby kept her face in a jar by the door. And there are a lot of people who show up at church before they leave the house. They put on their face, their praise the Lord face. And inside, they're really miserable inside, and they're hurting. And they're carrying scars and wounds that nobody knows. And in the churches, and you've been in some of the bigger ones where, you know, someone sees their friends from across a big congregation and says hi, and there's Eleanor Rigby in the middle of them with no one sitting by her, wearing her face, carrying her wounds. No one knows. Joseph has got his wounds, and he's now elevated, and he's the prime minister of Israel, but he's still carrying the wounds. He's still needing God to restore his soul. And finally, he has two children. He has Manasseh and he has Ephraim. We typically say Ephraim and Manasseh because dad, you know, grandpa switched his hands and made the younger one the one of blessing. And Ephraim does mean fruitful. And so you can understand, you know, that he's fruitful. And he was fruitful. God made him fruitful. He had a wife and he had kids and he had a new life going. But what about these scars? What about this pain from the past? What about all the people that have hurt him? Well, Manasseh means forgetful. You see, you cannot have an Ephraim fruitful until you have a Manasseh which is forgetful. God has to be able to give you the grace to forget. I've had a lot of people say to me, well, I can forgive them, but I can't forget them. then you will never be fruitful. You will never experience the joy that God wants you to have until you can truly forget. Well, how can I do that? How can I forget this gouging nick in the furniture of my life? The Lord restores our soul. He can help you forget. Amen. Noah, come on up. I don't think God can help me forget. You don't know what He did to me. How many stars are in heaven? Can you name them? The God I serve can. And if He can do that, He can help you forget. Amen. He really can. The God I serve can really help you forget and forgive and go forward and be fruitful in your life. Let's all stand, shall we? Praise God. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's pray. Lord, You knew 50,000 billion years ago who would be in this service on this day at this time. And unlike me, Lord, You know every scratch and every scar and every wound that each one of us carry. And You love us just as we are. Some of the wounds we carry are self-inflicted, Lord. We can deal with those a lot easier than we can the ones that were inflicted by our family and our friends. We don't want to get bitter. We want to get better. We know, Lord, that until we can come to the place where we don't even think about it anymore, we will never get better. We can never experience the fruit that You want us to have until we can forget. And we can't do that on our own. Only You can do it. You who know the number of stars and can name every one of them. And so, Lord, as we are here this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed praying, we ask, Lord, that You begin to walk through the corridors of our heart this morning. Begin to apply the blood to every nick and every scratch and every gouge. The ones self-inflicted, the ones that were perpetrated upon us. You're our shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. And You can restore us just like new again. I believe it, Lord. I believe it. And so we ask this morning that You touch us in those areas of brokenness. You came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's Your mission. That's Your job. Far be it for us to diminish that by saying, I'm okay, I can handle it, I'm tough. No, Lord, You came for people like us, the wounded, the Eleanor Rigbys of the world. And while we may have all put on our face, come to church this morning, You know what's going on the inside. And so we ask You to heal us. Heal us, Lord, of our brokenness, our wounds, our gouges. Help us to do more than just forgive, but to forget. Help us to turn from focusing on what He or she did to what You did on the cross. And begin this morning to start new work in our lives as You heal us from the inside out. Lord, we're looking forward to the testimony of people who come here and say, He has restored the joy of my salvation. He has restored me and made me clean and new again. I no longer carry the burdens of unforgiveness or anger or bitterness. I feel so new, so clean, so restored. Yes, Lord. Restore our soul as only You can do. For it's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the sun go.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you, and the Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Spirit like a dove will descend.